good morning, or whenever, might be afternoon, whenever you may be tuning in to this. We normally don't do this on every third month of the year, each quarter. We here at this church take time to set aside to remember the Last Supper that Jesus had in the upper room with his disciples before his trial and his death, burial, and then resurrection on that Easter Sunday morning. But we decided this morning to put this, we're going to put this online, Daniel will later on, whenever it might be, sometime this week, a few questions about the Lord's Supper. And I promise you, next Sunday, we will be back into our sermon series on Pleasant View's favorite Bible verses. But we're going to discuss the Lord's Supper here for a few minutes before we partake as a church in the Lord's Supper. Many of you may know this as Christians in here in the building. Maybe you're when you listen to this, maybe you're a newer Christian. Maybe you are listening in by a friend who may recommend it. We do hope that those who listen outside of here recommend it. Share it with a friend. Pass the word along that we are a little church here just trying to do our part to profess our faith in Christ and the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But maybe you may have questions about the Lord's Supper, and we're going to quickly discuss that this morning before we partake in the Lord's Supper. And I know you think, oh, we've been through this before. Well, it's always good to stay brushed up about the Lord's Supper and answering these simple questions. The question, first of all, and it'll be on the screen as well for you for in here and you listening and watching as well. The first question, who should participate in the Lord's Supper? The question, who? The answer Daniel has on the screen. Anyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you are not a born-again Christian, you are not to partake in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a reminder of God's ultimate sacrifice in sending His one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf, securing that free gift of salvation. It is a what we call a doctrine of substitution, that Christ died for me, He died for you. Amen? Now, the second question, when should I take the Lord's Supper? Well, whenever it is offered. As I just said to the listening audience, we here at Pleasant View Missionary Baptist decide to do it every 3 months. It really doesn't matter. Catholicism, they do it every time the doors are open. I should know. I've got a certain age, and I was partook in what we call communion. It's the same thing. The Lord's Supper, communion, the Eucharist, it's all the same meaning. Every time we partook of the bread and the wine, not great. They use actual wine, folks, so and very bitter. But anyway, it doesn't really matter when you partake in it. Paul emphasized that in 1 Corinthians 11:26 when he said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." So whenever it is, that's when you remember those things. It doesn't matter how often, once a year, 6 months, 3 months, whenever you want to do it, whatever floats your boat, so to speak, you can do that. So there is no blueprint at all. Now, we have to remember the Lord's Supper was instituted as part of the annual Jewish event called Passover. We all remember in the Old Testament, Passover, okay? The apostles spoke of in Acts a couple of times about the breaking of bread. Many scholars believe that was the interpretation for the Lord's Supper. In Acts 2:46, it was referred to for a daily act. And then in Acts 20, verse 7, it was referred to as a weekly celebration on the first day of the week, Sunday. Okay? Now, that answers the when question. Now, number three, why should I take the Lord's Supper? The question is why? And you may have wondered it out there, those who are listening and watching. Well, there are a few reasons on why. The first reason is because Jesus commanded it. Okay? Look at verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.' Then here it is. Do this in remembrance of me." He didn't say, "Well, you might ought to do it in remembrance of me. You should do it in remembrance of me." No, he said, "You do this in remembrance of me. And now, secondly, why should I take the Lord's Supper? To remember Christ's death on the cross on our behalf. We made reference to that in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 11. And then three, to look forward to his soon return. Amen. Verse 26 refers to that. And then number four, and we'll broaden on it a little bit, to share with fellow like-minded Christians. Okay? Even though it is a symbolic act, the Lord's Supper has such tremendous and significant meaning. All right? When we participate in the Lord's Supper, it demonstrates our desire for and commitment to that continuing lifestyle in the Christian faith. Every Christian should want that desire to participate in the Lord's Supper because it represented everything that Christ was to do for us, okay, securing us in our faith. And part of that lifestyle would be consisting in deep devotion and in communion, in unity with other believers, to have that trust and obedience and that gratitude and service. That is why we should want to partake in the Lord's Supper. And now, here's the big question, the what question. What is the meaning of the Lord's Supper? What is the meaning? Well, when Jesus took that bread and he took the cup, the fruit of the vine, the Bible talks about, is as his body and his blood, he wasn't saying that literally. It was a typological description, okay? The bread did not become his body, and the fruit of the vine, the cup, did not become his blood, unlike teachings in other sects of Christianity that somehow, if it's prayed over and there's a specific words that are said and rituals that are taken, that somehow it magically becomes the body and blood of Christ. That's not what Jesus was saying at all here, but rather it represented his fullness, okay, of his sacrifice to all of us that he came to redeem. How do we know that? Because first of all, I talked about earlier, a few minutes ago, the Lord's Supper is a representation of from the origins of the Jewish Passover. And remember what the Passover was in the Old Testament? It was that reminder of the Jews that God would deliver them from bondage of Egypt. And they were told to put the blood of an unblemished lamb over the frame of the door. And then the death angel would go over, and when he seen the blood, he would pass over, and he would not take the life of those in those homes. That's what the Passover was about. Jesus' command here to receive the Lord's Supper in remembrance of me establishes that memorial meal like a Passover type, okay? And then secondly, his specific language Jesus used points to a symbolic understanding of the Lord's Supper. Now think of it, in the upper room, Jesus is saying all that he is saying, and it would be hard for his disciples, the apostles, the 11 of them, to sit there while Jesus was physically sitting there and in saying, this is my body, this is my blood, the fruit of the vine in the cup. It would be hard for him to imagine that Jesus sitting there in his pre-incarnate, he had not died yet, he was still in his human body, pre-incarnate state. It would be hard for him to think, how could that be? Him physically sitting here, but yet he is in that stuff. That would be confusing for them, especially, I think, Peter. Peter would have all kinds of questions. You know, how, Lord, is that to be? Remember, Jesus did not say, this bread becomes my body. He did not say that. What did he say? This is my body. This is my blood. And even though they did not really fully understand that until after Christ's resurrection on Easter Sunday morning, I believe they truly understood the metaphorical sense of what Jesus was saying. Remember, throughout the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, Jesus referred to himself as, he was the phrase is, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my shepherd. So things like that, a biblical imagery. The bread reminds us of Jesus' body. It's that unleavened bread, and it's unleavened bread. It is a symbol of the perfection of who Jesus Christ was in his body, soul, and spirit. Look at verses 23 and 24 of 1 Corinthians 11. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The juice, what we use, Welch's grape juice, reminds us of Jesus' blood. Look at verse 25. "In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant, the new agreement in my blood. Do this as often as you drink, and do it in remembrance of me.'" Now lastly, how? The question, how? How should I take the Lord's Supper? This is so important. Do it with complete reverence and no unconfessed sin. Look at verses 27 and 28. Paul puts the warning out. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner," here you go, what's going to happen? The result? "They shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Why was he saying this to the church of Corinth? Very simple. Many of them were partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. They had sin in their lives. And because of that, if you read on in the scriptures, many of them became ill. Many of them died because this is such a serious matter, remembering the Last Supper Jesus had before his death on this earth. Someone in closing here this morning, they quoted about the Lord's Supper. They said, "The Lord's Supper teaches that rituals are good, and they are instituted and used by God to connect his people with him. We learn through ritual that the church is not just made up of individuals, but it is a corporate body. It is not just about personal salvation, but a group of people, the people of God, who are bound to one another and to the faithful through the generations." That's the discussion of the Lord's Supper. Let's bow together in prayer. Just because we're doing the observance of the Lord's Supper today, it would not be fitting if I did not give a personal invitation to our listening audience this morning. The Lord's Supper, remembering what Christ would do for us on Calvary, the observance of it is so important, but I believe there's something that's even more important than that. The reason Jesus left Christians here on this earth once they gave their life to Jesus is for one simple reason: to tell others the good news about what we just talked about. The ultimate sacrifice Jesus made on that old rugged cross, dying for not just my sins and the sins of the people in this church, but for your sins and the sins of the entire world. Maybe God is talking to you this morning. His Holy Spirit is telling you, you need Jesus now more than you ever have. And you need him for salvation, to secure your eternal fate one day in heaven. If you choose not to, you will be eternally separated from God, the Bible teaches, in hell, being tormented day and night, forever and ever. I'm not trying to scare you. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible also says today is the day of salvation. So if God's Holy Spirit is working on you, don't hold it off. The devil's going to say, "What's your hurry? You can do it some other time." There is so much for you to experience out there. The problem is, what he's not going to tell you is, your life can end just like that in a moment's notice. And then it is eternally too late to make that decision for Jesus. Because remember, in hell, everyone's a believer, but they cannot cross over from, the Bible teaches, from there to where heaven is. Jesus taught that himself. So why don't you make that decision this morning? How can I do that, you may ask? You can say this simple prayer of faith with me right now, silently in your heart or out loud, knowing that God is listening and waiting with open arms to accept you and to have you adopted as one of his children into the church of Jesus Christ. Say this prayer with me right now. Dear God, thank you for loving me, and I know that I am a sinner and I have sinned against you in so many ways, and I am truly sorry for those sins in my life. But I believe what I have heard this morning, that you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, taking the punishment I deserve for my sins. And I'm trusting right now in what Christ and Christ alone did to save me from my sins. God, thank you for loving me, and thank you so much for forgiving me. And I am praying that you will help me spend the rest of my life serving you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it with all of your heart, you are now a child of God. And we want to hear from you. We've started this a few weeks ago. If you prayed that prayer of faith and you really meant it with all of your heart, we want to hear from you here at Pleasant View Baptist Church. There is a site, a link that you can click on at the bottom of your screen. It is pvme.me/contact. You'll click on that link. It will send you directly to the contact information page where you're putting your information so that we can know not only who you are, but also to send you some free material, a Gideon's Bible, different pamphlets telling you about your new faith in Christ and the things that you better be prepared for in this world that the enemy's going to throw at you. Help to encourage you and to help you grow. We want to hear from you. And also, we'd love to invite you here at this church, Pleasant View Missionary Baptist. We love everyone who is trusted in Christ. We welcome you here to this church. But make sure the first thing you do is give a testimony. I've said it time and time again. That's one of the greatest things you can do is a witness to somebody else. Tell your personal experience of the life that God took you from and where he has you now as a newfound believer in Christ. You may even be an established Christian, but giving a testimony of what Christ just did for you if you're a new Christian. Give that testimony to a family member, a friend, a co-worker. What you're doing, you are planting that seed and you're watering it down, so to speak, so that God's Holy Spirit may come at some point and convict that person of the sins that they have and bring them to faith in Christ, just like it happened to you. Give that testimony, and then make sure, I just gave a hint a minute ago, get into a Bible-believing church that teaches the whole counsel of God's Word. They don't cherry-pick Scripture to make you feel good. They don't try to do prosperity preaching to tell you God wants you to have everything that your heart desires and live the best life you can live now. That's prosperity preaching, and the Bible does not teach that. The Bible says he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in heaven and in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. Make sure also they teach about sin. That's why we all come to faith in Christ, those who are believers, because we were living in a sinful life. It started with Adam and Eve in rebellion against God, thinking they could do things their way. Where we've seen what's happened. You know how I know that this world is full of sin? And it's this world is falling apart because of sin. One way, one true evidence, we all have to die. The wages, the penalty of sin is death, the Bible teaches. But if you're a follower of Christ, the death will not be the end of your story. It's just the beginning. Because Jesus is preparing a place for us in heaven, and he will come again, he says, and take his children home to be with him and the Lord forever. And ever, the Bible teaches. Get into that Bible-believing church just like this one, Pleasant View Missionary Baptist. Our information is on our Facebook page or on our website, pvbaptistchurch.org. Well, we have great sermons out there from the past, those recently. Our statement of faith is out there. Check us out. For a little church, we have a 5-star rated website, thanks to our brother Daniel back there, who you can't see on camera. But he, maybe once a year in our Christmas program, you may see him on there. He's the one responsible for all of this going on. I'm just the mouthpiece for Christ, and he takes everything else and pieces it all together, all the stuff I leave laying around. He puts it all together so eloquently. If you can't join this church, join another local Bible-believing church that teaches the whole counsel of God's Word. Father in heaven, I pray to you this morning that no one who may have heard this invitation or another great teacher of faith out there who put out that call of invitation for salvation, I pray no one would resist your call for salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.